Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
Today's gospel follows very closely on the heels of the Easter story that we all just heard last week, when Jesus met Mary in the garden and called her by name. Mary had gone to the tomb to pay homage to a dead man. Think about that a moment. I have seen many people die in my life. She went with a company of women to pay homage. But they did not come just to mourn for Jesus. They came to mourn for themselves and for the whole human race. It was the end of one shining moment, the death of a dream. The women were hesitant as they approached the tomb because they had fear in their hearts of the Roman soldiers and the temple guard who were standing around. And you can read about that in Matthew 28, 1 through 20. But suddenly, while they were standing there, a great light burst into the room, into the sky all around them. There was this incredible light, and the power of God came down and rolled the stone away, and with it the power of Rome, the power of death. Everything was dissolved in a moment, and the guards who were there to guard the tomb suddenly were terrified, and they fell like dead men on their faces in the ground. Mary, having witnessed all of these things, the angels coming down, rolling the stone, the angels in the tomb, was so filled with grief, the trauma of the grief, the tears running down her face, that she could only ask one question. Where have they taken my Lord? Where have you taken the body of my Lord? She asked the angel. The angel said, why do you look for the living among the dead? Why are you here? Why aren't you out celebrating that he is risen? Why aren't you here? But she couldn't bring herself to that. The tears were yet to fall. She looked at Jesus as though he were a gardener. And she, through the tears, asked him the same question. What have you done with the body of my Lord? The one that we came here to pay homage to. It wasn't until through her tears that Jesus called her by name that she believed in the resurrection. Many of us are like that today. We still try to control or contain the power of resurrection. We're not ready for it. We want to keep Jesus securely in the places of our lives where we have posted guards to contain him. But Jesus keeps breaking through the seals and rolling over the stones that we place there. He keeps doing that. He goes before us. He's always there. He's always with us. He goes before us to the Galilee where we know we'll go, and he knows our needs before we even tell him. He knows. He lives. He lives unrestrained in power and glory. He will not be confined to a tomb or to your ideology or even to your doubts. He is alive. Let us pray. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, As we come to this time of worship, we ask that you would speak to us. My words cannot contain the glory and the power. There are no words that man has been able to comprehend that we could in some way describe the glory that is yours. Father, we ask you to speak for us. Cast my words out. They're nothing. They're words of a sinful man trying to explain the unexplainable. But Father, you can call us each by name. You have known us while we were in our mother's womb. You know every hair that's on our body. You know us, Father. And it is to you that we appeal right now. Speak to us. Open the veil so that we may see with spiritual eyes the glory that is yours. For we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you like to read with me? We're reading John 20. And I'll start with verse 19 and go to the end. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, which was Sunday, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." And he said this. He showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw Jesus. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hand the prints of the nails and put my finger into the print of those nails, and my hand into his side, I would not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." The disciples were locked behind doors to keep the Jews from coming in and killing them too. Even after they knew about the empty tomb, they still shut the doors, locked. They had fear for a companion, just like many of us. It's not the way they wanted to be. It's not the stage of disbelief that they took themselves. They just couldn't come to terms with the resurrection. And Jesus walked through the walls and appeared to them and spoke to them, and they knew it was true that he had defeated death and the grave. He was alive again. They believed that he was resurrected. And after having that incredible experience, they couldn't contain themselves. They had to go out and tell other people, and first people they told were the people that were in that group, that were in the group of the disciples, and they spoke to Thomas, and Thomas didn't believe them. It wasn't that Thomas looked at them and said, "Oh, you're liars." He didn't think they were liars. After all, he had believed many of the things they had told him before based on faith. But he just couldn't believe. His hopes and dreams had been crushed. He just didn't know for certain. In his heart, and in his mind, and in our hearts, and in our minds, perhaps we're still looking for something. Perhaps we're still like the people yesterday who walked around and said, science is everything. God created science. I studied physics at Rice University. I can tell you for a fact, God created science. Not the other way around. But people were grabbing at straws. They wanted to understand. If I only knew for certain, Thomas was saying, if I could touch it. That's the same thing that we're saying today. I'd be a better person. I would be a better person. I would do the things that Jesus wants me to do if he would just make himself clear to me. If I could just see him. If I could just touch him. If we only knew for sure. Jesus appeared in another locked room. This is the second locked room they had that the Bible reports, but it was 8 days after his first appearance. He appeared again. They had locked the doors. They still had fear as a companion, even though they had seen the resurrected Lord, even though he had shown them the prints in his hand, even though he had shown them his side where the spear had entered in. Just like us, they were there. They didn't really believe. And Jesus said to them, peace. What he said was, shalom. May things be to you as they ought to be. He already knew what Thomas had said. And so he says to Thomas, here, look. Look at my hands. Here, put your finger here. Put your finger in my side. Thomas doesn't have to do that. Thomas sees and believes, and he falls to his knees and he says, my Lord and my God, because he suddenly was overwhelmed. There's nothing in the Bible that says he touched Jesus. He didn't get that final confirmation, if you like. He knew because he knew. Thomas doesn't fall to his knees and say, oh my Lord, my God, with nothing in his mind. He falls with an overwhelming feeling that God had lifted him up. And he knew. He knew like the same way the disciples knew when they went to Caesarea Philippi. He knew. Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And you remember that some said, well, you're the Messiah, you're this and you're that, and you're the John the Baptist come back, and you're this and you're that. And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. That is the same experience that Thomas had at that moment. Jesus will not be held back even by the doubts of his believers. Just as he had not been held down by the power of Rome and its soldiers. Our doubts don't constrain him. Despite our doubts and our denials and our complacency, our need for a comfortable place where everything is shown to us and everything is spoon-fed. In spite of that, Jesus cannot be constrained. He is alive. Do you need evidence of that? Look around in this room. There are people in this room who come week after week attempting to see Jesus. Look around in this room. There are people who call Jesus Lord, who help others in his name, who love others in His name, who care for others in His name. Do you need more evidence? Well, the Romans seem to have needed more evidence. But there isn't any more. Even when we try, we can't constrain Jesus. Examine your own hearts. Is there some place in your heart that is seeking to know, seeking to walk in a closer way with Jesus? Is there a person in your life that you desire to know Him? Is there someone you want to share Him with? Even when we try to keep Jesus out of the way, to make Him more manageable, the way the Roman army did. What did the Roman army do? They sealed the tomb and posted guards. Jesus keeps ahead of them, point of their need. Sandra and I watched Risen not long ago, and it is a movie. And in the movie, the ropes are not cut, they're burst open. You see, it was the Roman practice when a tomb was sealed and it had the Roman seal placed on it. And it was death by crucifixion to anyone who broke that seal. That seal was there, and they tied that massive stone with ropes as well, just to make it more difficult. The ropes were burst. They weren't cut. The power of God came and burst through the ropes, burst through the seals, burst in such a way that the guards were terrified. But regardless of what you do, remember that He will not be held back. He won't be held back by someone who says, "Oh, well, God doesn't do that anymore." God does. God's the same today, yesterday, and forever. He does do things today. No ideology can hold Him back. God is dead. Theology cannot hold Him back. There is nothing on this earth that can hold my Savior back. He is risen. Christ is risen. He comes into doors without locks, or he can materialize any place at any time. He can be here with us now. Where two or three of us are gathered together, there am I, He said, in the midst of them. Jesus Christ is here. He is here in the midst of us. He breaks down the walls we have erected to protect ourselves, to keep Him in place. We don't want His power. We don't want to see that resurrection power. But that resurrection power is in each and every one of us, and it will come out the day we die and take us immediately to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Bang! That's over. In a twinkling of an eye, 1/10,000th of a second. Calls each of us by name. He breaks down all the walls we have erected to protect ourselves from its power. He sends us into a world that is filled with need. How does He do this? Does He give us money? No. Does He give us power? No. Does He give us anything that we need? Health? No. He takes us as we are, and He fills us with Himself, and He gives Himself to us to share with others. He has promises to be with us every step of the way, in our obedience and in our disobedience, in our certainty and in our doubts, in our defeats and in our triumphs. The one who cannot be contained by a tomb cannot be contained by us today, and will be with us until the end of the age. Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. He will come into your heart and he will wipe away all of your doubts. What did he say to Thomas? He said, blessed are you, for you have seen and believed. But more blessed, more happy, more grace-filled are those who have not seen and yet believe by faith. Because it is by faith that we come to know the Lord, not by sight, lest anyone should boast. It is by faith. If you have a need in your life, He wants to use the faith you have and heal you. He wants to heal you of the sickness of your sin. He wants to heal you. He wants you to be with Him always. He wants you. He's calling you today by name. By name. He knows you and He loves you. He will appear in a room that you have locked away in some place in your life that you don't want Him. He's there. Take it from me. He's in every room of your life. He will always be there. If you want to come and receive Him today, you can come. If you want to come and pray, you can come. If you want to come for physical needs or spiritual needs or whatever, Jesus didn't seem to pay any attention. He healed people who were demon-possessed. He healed people who were lame and blind and deaf. He healed everyone of their sins by lying on the cross and having nails driven through His hands and His feet. He suffered so that you won't have to. Will you come to Him today? Will you hear His voice calling you? Each of us needs to decide for ourselves because He also gave us free will. We need to decide for themselves whether they will step out in faith and receive Him as their Lord and Master. Each of us must decide that. He may be that He wants you to rededicate your life. He may be He wants you to join the church. He may be that He wants you to have baptism. I don't know what it is. But God does.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.